Hello and welcome to You Don't Have to Be Crazy, the 10-minute payroll podcast from Payslip. I'm your host, Ger from Payslip, and each episode I have a light-hearted chat with a payroll professional, discussing the highs, the lows, and everything in between. Because after all, you don't have to be crazy to work in payroll, but sometimes it helps. Joining me today is John Lestock, incredibly experienced payroller, and I don't think that's overestimating it, John. John, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on here. This is fabulous. And to answer your question, yes, you don't have to be crazy, but it does help.
Yeah, I'm sort of half thinking that this podcast can double up as sort of a therapy session for payroll people as well. John, the first question I have to ask you is that I noticed you might have more letters after your name than anybody I have ever come across, right? You've got CPP, CEBS, QPA, QKC. So I have to ask, continuous professional development is obviously something that's really important to you. Why? What has that given you in your life and your career?
I'll start off by saying my wife will lovingly tell me, for God's sakes, man, get a hobby. All you do is study and do webinars. And, you know, and right now I'm actually going back to school to get a master's degree. And she's like, you know, golf is a good hobby. Why not take up golf? Seriously. Development is super important because you can't stand still, whether it's global payroll, whether local payroll here in the United States, U.S. payroll, whether it's employee benefits, whether it's pension plan administration, which were those certifications relate specifically to those areas. There's constantly legislation being passed, regulations, rules, whether it's the U.S., whether it's Europe, whether it's Asia, whether it's a particular area, whether it be at payroll, HR, pension, retirement plans, health plans, you name it. Everything is constantly in a state of flux. There's constantly change. And even tax law, especially, standing still means you're already being left behind. And I just have this, call it a fear, that I don't want to fall behind. I don't want to be obsolete. So in order to prevent that, I continually seek out certifications, classes, courses. I try to stay on top of my game so that I don't fall behind.
That's such a wonderful attitude to have, something that I think any professional could kind of learn from that. Was that always your attitude, or is that something that's kind of come to you later in life?
Probably since college, I think I developed that attitude. College was such an eye-opening experience. I loved it, and it was exciting. The experience was that I'm originally from Chicago, and I've lived here in Seattle for almost 20 years now. And I went to college in Chicago, and got an accounting degree, and I loved it. It was that, you know, the degree and the professors, of course, the experience. The campus was north of downtown Chicago, and to take classes there, and the professors, they had come from industry. They worked at accounting firms, companies, and they had such a passion for what they were teaching. You think accounting is like dry toast. How is that exciting? But they made it engaging. You know, some professors had a wry sense of humor. So in the course of being, them, you kind of learn to appreciate it and enjoy like learning this. Like, this isn't, something esoteric or weird. This is real. This is real life. And I love it. I couldn't get enough of it. So after college, when I started working, I realized there are some gaps in my understanding, my knowledge. Early on, I sort of depended on my employer to provide it, and realizing some employers just aren't going to pay for training. So you just need to go out and seek it yourself. Yeah, it's going to cost you a little bit, but it's an investment in yourself, and it pays off. And it's, for myself, it certainly has. And that's where that attitude developed, to just keep going.
There's that old sort of line in payroll that nobody sort of deliberately gets into payroll. People kind of fall into it, or maybe there's a way of looking at it that payroll sort of chooses the individual. You studied accounting, right? But what led you into payroll? Did you fall into it? Were you pulled into it?
Well, I wasn't kidnapped, and the captors have been treating me well. Yes.
Do you have to say that, John? Are they with you in the room now? Do you want to give me a wink and a nod to let me know?
I'll blink twice. Yes. The funny thing is, I've been saying this for 30 years. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I started, I guess I'm just immature that way. I started in accounting, corporate accounting. I didn't follow the public accounting route. I wanted to, but it just never panned out. So I stayed in corporate. And kind of along the way, you learn to go to a different area of like your virtual accounting or finance department. And I actually started with, I changed jobs to a company that did benefits consulting, Hewitt Associates. This is before Aon acquired them and they became, I forgot what they call them, Alight, I think is what they're going by these days. They did benefits consulting. And when I worked there, they needed an accountant to help with their retirement plans, specifically the 401k plans. Well, for your non-US listeners, 401k is the tax code that governs a specific type of pension plan in the United States, a retirement plan. So they needed an accountant to help with that. So I learned, kind of cut my teeth learning retirement plans there. And those are like a defined contribution plan that depends on payroll data. It depends on payroll deductions, employer contributions, and information from the payroll system. And what I noticed was a lot of my issues when I'm trying to reconcile or kind of support the team administering those plans, we were dependent on the payroll function. And for us, it was this mystery box. Somebody in HR is giving us a data file. Someone in finance is giving us the funding. They're not talking to each other. And that from we can see. And it was this mystery black box sending us all this information. I thought, in order to better understand how to perform better in this job, this role with retirement plans, 401ks, I need to understand payroll. Where is this coming from? So eventually I transitioned to a company and worked in their payroll department. So I got to see the flip side. And that's where I kind of got my start. And it was initially US payroll. Fast forward to here living in Seattle and saw a job opening in my company. And I applied for global payroll. And I told the interviewer, I don't have experience with global payroll. I really don't. A little bit of Canadian payroll, but not much else. And they said, no problem. We'll train you. It'll be fine. You know, that was partially true once I got into the job. But still, the foundation that I had built over the years helped me greatly to have the mindset to tackle payroll on an international global scale.
Can you, I guess, unpack or offer advice for people when you make that leap from being an expert or an individual contributor for one country and suddenly you're in charge of EMEA? What's that leap like? What do you have to learn or what do you have to unlearn in order to do that job well?
It's excellent that you said unlearn. I was just going to say that. The foundation of having that understanding of, say, start with US payroll. A lot of my coworkers, a lot of my fellow professionals, we see out our certifications, we certify payroll professionals. We know US payroll well. From timekeeping to time leaving to tax, wage and hour, you name it, we know that really, really well. Now we're going to transition to global payroll. And my advice to my friends who want to go into the global payroll profession is definitely hold on to that knowledge as a foundation to build from, but don't be restricted by it. You have to unlearn. You need to see payroll through the eyes of the country you're working on. Canada was a great transition payroll for me in the sense that it was so similar to the US, sometimes to a detriment, because you have this mentality, oh, Canada, US is all the same. And that's certainly not true. That similarities that throw you off because you think you know it. And you're not focusing on what's different. And what I learned was what made Canada different from the US made Canada more similar to the UK, to Ireland, to Japan. So as you learn other countries, you start to realize, you know, Canada's not the strange one. The US is the strange one. Everybody else is following a similar pattern. So just having that understanding and that to walk in eyes wide open and to really try to see it through the eyes of a local payroll practitioner. Ireland was my first real global payroll experience when I started in this job. And it's near and dear to my heart. I will never let that one go. But it's interesting because it was similar to UK and I had just a taste of UK payroll before, but it was very different than US. And I really had to unlearn my biases on the US side to fully understand how do you perform or process payroll in Ireland. Even if we're working with a third party service provider, I had to be knowledgeable enough to be able to intelligently interact with the service providers. You know, I'm not walking in completely blind. I can ask intelligent questions. I can understand what they're telling me and what our requirements are, what our requests are, so that we can work together effectively.
That's the end of part one of my conversation with John Lestock. Be sure to check in for part two. Like and subscribe if you haven't done so already.